bring you greetings again in the name of Jesus. Tonight, it's a privilege to be here with you. We enjoyed our day with a few of you, and thank you for your kindness to us and our family. We welcome you to Kirkwood. If you're down in that area, southeast of here, almost 4 hours, welcome to stop by there. For message tonight, you can open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to call our attention tonight to a very familiar verse in this chapter and draw some truth for us here today. I trust it will be a help for us as we live our Christian lives here. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And we're going to stop reading there. The wherefore takes us back to chapter 11. That's what it's there for. And that's what chapter 12 builds off of, is this cloud of witnesses that the author describes to us in chapter 11. Men and women who have run the race all the way to the end, faithful to the end. They saw Jesus. In that race, they looked to Jesus. What did they see of Jesus? What did they know of Jesus? These are all Old Testament saints. What did they see that encouraged them to keep pressing on, to trust in their Savior, our Savior? Well, Jesus said of Abraham that Abraham saw his day and rejoiced. There were many Old Testament scriptures that pointed forward to the coming of a Savior. But even before Abraham, the scriptures weren't even written, but there were seeds planted all the way back in the garden of a Savior that was to come because of but a problem was sin. A Redeemer needed to come. They saw Jesus. They didn't see Jesus like you and I see Jesus tonight. But as time moved on from age to age, more and more was revealed. And now Christ has come. The Savior has come. And we look back. So much has been revealed for us. We're very privileged people tonight. They saw through a glass very darkly, I believe. But tonight we see through a glass not so darkly. There's coming a day that the glass will be clear. We can see face to face. This Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're called tonight in this passage to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's the title of the message, Lay Aside Every Weight. We're going to only look at weights tonight. Not sin. And I, as a minister of the gospel, we must be clear tonight that any sin in our lives, known sin in our life, will not be able to stand in the presence of a holy God. And so take courage tonight. If there's someone here with sin in your life that you know about, take courage to reveal that, to confess that, to make it known, to make it right, to repent of it, to be done with it. Tonight we want to look at laying aside every weight. What that means and what that looks like to us, to me, as I run this race as a Christian, where God has placed me. What does it mean? What does weight mean? Well, you look up the word and it means it's a bulk or a mass, a heap. And it has a neutral connotation. It's not bad. These are not bad things. Think about a paperweight. There are ways that have good purposes in life that we use and are thankful for. Your tractor has some weights on it probably to keep it balanced so it works well, works good, keeps it from tipping over. But in this context tonight, as a runner in a race, weight is bad in this context. It needs to be laid aside. If we're going to make it to the finish line, weights need to be taken off as we run. And so, while in this context, the weight may not be a bad thing, it's not sin. It could be a very good thing, but it's a weight that becomes a drag to our life that slows us down in this race of getting to the end, and we're called to lay it aside. That's the only thing we can do with weights as a Christian. That's what we're commanded to do tonight, is to lay it aside, to put it off. There's a commentator that's well known, and I read his observations on this verse, and I'm just going to quote him briefly. How he explains this verse to us, he says that, quoting, thousands of Christians are like waterlogged vessels. They cannot sink, but they are so saturated with inconsistencies and worldliness and permitted evil that they can only be towed with difficulty into the celestial port. Tonight, I reject that statement. I think he is wrong with that observation. I think he's missed the point completely. There's a lot of people tonight that hear teaching like this that I believe is deceptive. As if the only thing that is at stake tonight is how we get to the celestial city, like whether or not we need to get pulled in with a tugboat or we just sail with our sails wide open, as if it makes no difference, but only thing is that you need to be pulled in to get there. Like, is that the only thing that's at stake tonight with laying aside weights, whether or not you get drug in or whether you sail in? Well, the author of Hebrews, so I contemplated that statement, and I thought about that, and I went back through this book, and I started to read. What does this book say? What does this author say about the Christian life and how we ought to live? In chapter 2, he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Go over to chapter 3 and verses 12. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. Jump over to chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Verse 11, he says in chapter 4, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Jump over to chapter 6 and verses 5 and 6, he says, jumping in the middle of these verses, but he says, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now we jump back to chapter 10 and verses 38 and 39. He says this, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So what is at stake tonight with this truth, with this command of laying aside weights? What's at stake? Is it your mode of transportation into the celestial city? Is that what's at stake tonight? No, what's at stake is if you even make it. That's what's at stake. That's how this author writes this book. It's whether or not you even make it. This author of Hebrews, he's not writing to us to discourage Christians from running a sloppy race, drifting, being sidetracked, being weighed down, sluggish, spiritually lazy, coasting along. That's not how he writes at all, but rather he says, if this is how you run, you won't make it. Fear. Be aware. Spurgeon said this about this verse. He says, and I quote him, he says, "We cannot win if we are weighted. The pace will have to be very swift, and we cannot get to it or keep it up if we have weights to carry. Unload it. We shall find the race taxing to all our powers, but weighted, we shall be doomed to failure. Oh, that ye would win. Heed the caution. Lay aside every weight, whether great or small, and press towards the mark. Run for it, man. Thou hast need to do nothing else but run." And I believe that he has it very accurately right. How serious this is for us as Christians tonight. In America, in 2026, this author of Hebrews is calling to you and me tonight to lay aside every weight. It's imperative that you and I do this. Our spiritual lives hang on this, on how I run this race. Just a couple of observations about weights. Number one is weights have to do with running. That's the primary verb of these two verses, is run. Let us run with patience. Everything else modifies this word run. It all connects to this word run. Let us run, laying aside every weight. Lay aside every sin to run. Run with endurance. Run with patience. Run with your eyes on Jesus. So the matter of weights tonight is important to us as it relates to the way we run, how we run this race. We're called to run. We're commanded to run. And Spurgeon tells us to run for it, man. Run! It's the command of Scripture. The Apostle Paul, as he was nearing the end of his life, and he reflected back on his life, his testimony was this. He says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course," or my race. "I have kept the faith." Paul tells us tonight that this race, it's a fight. It's a fight on the one hand, and on the other hand, it's a race. It's a fight for the faith. So weights tonight have to do with how well we run as a Christian. Looking unto Jesus, keeping my heart Christward, keeping my eyes on Jesus, keeping my hope in Jesus, my joy, does it rest in Jesus? Have I become distracted from this race? Have I lost this single-minded purpose? Or have I become pulled away by the things of this world? Or by myself? Tonight, this is a race. This is a fight that you and I are going to have to give everything we got to make it to the end. This will take all of us, all that we got, to press on, to keep going. We sing that song sometimes about we have wars within and we have wars without. That's what we face as Christians sometimes. There's a lot of pressures that press in upon us. want to get our attention. We're called tonight to run. Run your life in faith. Tonight, if I have weights in my life, I'm not going to run well. You won't run well. So this is a warning to us that we need to heed and think about. Spurgeon says, weight it down, you will not win. 2nd observation about weights is some thoughts about weight and sin. That they're two different things in this context. They're not the same. Sin is lawlessness. But a weight tonight may be something that's very much lawful. Sin is against God. It is lawlessness. It is against God and his plan and his laws. But a weight tonight may be completely lawful. And Paul, as he writes in Corinthians, he gives us some insights into this truth of things that are lawful, but that are not helpful to us as Christians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 12, he writes this to us. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, tonight, what Paul is telling to us is this. He says there may be things in your life that you're doing that the Word of God doesn't prohibit you from doing, but it's not being helpful to you as a Christian in running this race, in being faithful. It's distracting you. It's pulling you aside. He also mentions in chapter 10 of the same book, he says this about the same thought in verse 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Not all things tonight will build you up as a Christian. That's a truth that we need to contemplate. There are things tonight that may be in my life, that may be in your life, that are not necessarily sin, that are not necessarily called out in Scripture to us, but they're becoming a drag upon you. They're hindering you from running well. They don't build you up. And these things will become bad things to us if we don't unload them and get rid of them, because they're going to slow us down. And we may not get to the finish line where we want to get to. So tonight, this truth should guide us as we turn on our music and listen to music. Like, what for music do we listen to? Is it upbuilding me as a Christian? Or is it pleasing me? Or am I admiring the singer? Like, what music do I listen to? This truth of weight should help guide us in those decisions. Should help also to think about what to do this weekend. It should guide us as what we do on the weekends, how we're going to spend the weekend. What will I do? Will the things I do be upbuilding to me as a Christian? Or will my activities on a weekend be a weight to me as a Christian? Will they make me spiritually sleepy? You flip open your laptop or your smartphone, like, this truth awaits will guide us. It will give us some parameters as to what we're going to read and look at and watch. Is it a weight to us as a Christian? Like, is this helping me to run better as a Christian? Or is it hindering me? And so tonight, as a Christian, there is more to this race than asking the question, is this a sin? And I've already asked people, like, show me in the Bible where it says that I can't do that thing. Like, show me where it says I can't do that. And I guess those kind of responses reveal people's hearts. It revealed my heart. I wasn't really serious about running the race as a Christian and following this command about laying aside every weight. Think about a marathon runner. He's getting ready to run that race, and he's there at the start line, and in his hand, he's holding his gallon jug of water in his hand. And you go to him and say, "Sir, like, you don't need to take that with you. There'll be refreshments throughout this race that you can get to keep you going." And he'll look at you and say, "Well, show me in the rule book where it says I can't carry my water jug with me." Like, those kind of responses reveal somebody who is not serious about winning this race. They don't care about it. No marathon runner will run with a gallon jug by his side. They don't do that. It doesn't make sense. Nothing wrong with a gallon of water is necessary. But they won't run with it. And so tonight I have already in my life tried to find, like, the least, like, what is the least I can do? Like, how much can I get away with as a Christian and still be okay? What is the minimum righteousness that I can do and still get to heaven? Jesus tells us that we need to strive to enter the narrow way. We need to strive to enter. He also talks about the kingdom of God, and he speaks about violently taking it by force. And that speaks to some pretty aggressive things that you and I are going to have to do as Christians to stay in this race and to make it to the end. It's going to take some violence in our lives, in my life, some laying aside of even some good things so I can keep focused on what's important. This writer in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, he says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." So tonight, we shouldn't be interested in finding the minimal standard of holiness. We should be concerned about finding the most safe way to walk, the most safe way to run, the safest path to be on. We ought to be concerned about that as Christians. Tonight, if we don't ever mature out of that kind of thinking and of that kind of talk, like, I don't know that we'll ever make it to the finish line faithful if we're always searching to find the way of least resistance, the path of least resistance. I'm afraid we'll lose out. And so tonight we need to be asking different questions about what we do with our lives and what we allow in our lives. Questions that will help us. Questions like this: will this help me run well as a Christian? Will this quicken my pace, or will this slow me down? Will this incline my heart which way? Towards the world or towards God? Will this help me pray more if I read this, or will it make me worry more? Will this help me love Jesus more? Will this help me love my brother and sister more? Will this help me love my neighbors more? These are questions we need to ask ourselves as we evaluate our lives and what's in them, what we operate on, what we carry with us. Those are the kind of questions we should be asking ourselves. Because tonight, if you and I lose this race, we just don't go home discouraged, take a shower, eat supper, go to bed, get up and try again the next day. Like, if you lose this race tonight, you've lost everything. You lost it all. Like, this is so much at stake tonight in how we run this race. So weights tonight are baggage that drag us down. They're not necessarily sin. But it's anything in your life that's hindering you from running well as a Christian. Third observation I have is that the witnesses did it, and so we also must do it. this cloud of witnesses that Hebrews chapter 11 records for us. Do you hear their voices calling to you today yet? Abel's blood, it still cries from the ground. Being yet dead, he still speaks. Do you hear these voices? Do you hear Moses calling to you tonight? He says, look, I've chosen to reject the pleasures of sin. All that the world had to offer him, he chose to reject that and choose to suffer affliction with the people of God. These are the voices that call to me tonight, that call to you to lay aside every weight. Moses had status, he had favor, and he had riches. But he threw them out. And if you learn other faithful Christians, as you observe their life, as you visit with them, begin to see weights in their life that they cast off as they ran. Their path is often strewn with those things that have been left behind. Different seasons, different experiences, different circumstances bring things to light in our lives that, whoa, this thing is not good for me. I need to do something about this. And we lay it aside. And so tonight, faithful Christians, as they journey towards the finish line, should have a path behind them strewn with weights that they are casting aside. You won't see them all right now, but as you journey on, you'll see more and more things that should come off, should be laid aside to help you run well, to run better, so you get to the end, faithful to the end. Well, tonight, what are some things that can weigh us down? What are some things that will hinder us from running this race well? First one I have is worldliness. And that is anything that will distract you in this world. Anything that gets your eyes off of your purpose of why you're here. That sidetracks you. And you forget your mission of why you're here as a Christian. It takes your eyes off of things above. Your mind is concentrated on things down here. You forget that you're a citizen of another country. There's lots of things tonight in this world that will appeal to us, that call to us, that we maybe have in our lives, that the Scripture's calling to us to lay aside if you want to run well. And I can name off a whole bunch of them tonight, but you know your heart. Spirit will speak to you in those areas. It's different things for different people. We have different temptations. Things that tempt us in this world that you and I need to think seriously about and lay them aside. Things we listen to, places we shop, the books we read, the recreation we do, what entertains us. There is a slew of things out there tonight. We all know that are not helpful to us in running as a Christian. Beware of a worldliness, being like the world. Number two is watch out for what makes you feel better, but not run better. Now I'm thinking particularly of this thing of loneliness, and this is a large subject. Just touch on it very briefly. But sometimes when we feel lonely and all by ourselves and nobody understands us, and we think we're just misunderstood, we end up doing things to make ourselves feel better, but they're not helpful to us in running as a Christian. And tonight, if you face loneliness and depression and things like that in your life, beware of that. Get good help for that, because it's so easy to do things to sidetrack us from the real issue that's going on within our hearts. We need to find good help so we can run better. Not so we can feel better, but we can run better spiritually. So watch out for those things that make you feel better, but don't help you to run. Number three is, do I have anything in my life that I have to argue against myself about? Like, I don't know if you ever do that. I do that sometimes. Like, there's this thing that comes to my mind. Maybe someone talks to me about this, or there's some sermon that's preached about this, and I think about this thing in my life, and And we sort of have this argument with myself, like, no, like, that thing's okay. Like, there's nothing really wrong with that thing. I don't need to get rid of that thing. Like, it's okay. It's not sin. And we just try to persuade ourselves that this is okay for me. I can handle this one okay. But beware of things like that go on in your mind, in your head. Those arguments back and forth with yourself about things that have come to your mind. Oftentimes, they maybe need to be laid aside or looked honestly at. Number four, is there things in my life tonight that I'm not willing to investigate? Something that I don't really want to think about. I don't really want to, like, carefully consider it. I just want to just block it away from me. Got something in my life that, well, I'm not quite ready to light up before the Lord. I wouldn't want my brothers to know about this thing in my life. I'm not ready to ask for counsel and to examine this thing in the light of Scripture. Watch out for those things tonight. Things that you're not willing to look at. Things you want to just shove aside. Hope they go away. Hope it gets better. Watch out for those things. Those things are going to drag you down. Number five. How about things that you can really quickly spot in other people that are not good, but for yourself, well, it's really not that bad for myself. There's somehow things always look worse in another person's life than in my own life. It's pretty easy to see it in everybody else's life, but I fail to see it in my own life. And so be careful with that. Be careful with throwing judgment on someone else's life. Perhaps you've got something in your life tonight that needs to be taken care of too. So take care of the beam in your eye before you look at the mote in your brother. Would Jesus have allowed this in his life? Would Jesus have done this? Would he have just did what I did? Would he have just said what I said? Think about those things that quickly you see in other people, but you make excuses for yourself. Watch out for those things. Number six, there's sometimes in our lives that we become convicted about something and we say, yes, that thing really needs to be taken care of. And we lay it aside. Maybe for a year or two or three or less or more, and then we gradually pick it back up again. And we're doing what we thought at one time we should lay aside. I've already done that. That's pretty easy to do. We say, okay, that's enough of this. I'm going to stop reading the news for once. Like, stop this. So you stop this for a while. Then all of a sudden you're slowly getting back into it again. And then you get more and more and more. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa. Here we are, back to where we started again. Did something change? Like, can I handle this again? Or not? Obviously, tonight, this isn't an absolute point, but I think it's worth us thinking about. There are for sure seasons in our lives where things do need to be cast aside. Things do need to be locked down. Things do need to be put away because of a habit and some bondages that we've been in. And maybe there would be a time later for us as we've grown and matured to be able to accept some of that back into our lives again. But we really must carefully consider those things and not justify them. It may still be a drag on us as a Christian. There's many more things tonight that can slow us down, but I just wanted us to think about some things that I've experienced in my life that have hindered me from running well. And so tonight the choice is ours. Will I unload the baggage? Will I unload the weights that are in my life? Or will I keep trying to run with them? Hebrew writer tells us that if we choose to run with weights in our life, our knees will become weak, it says, and our hands will start drooping and hanging down, and we're going to start getting really tired of this Christian race. probably begin drifting and you become lukewarm. And at some point you'll fall out of the race. Tonight, you and I as Christian people, we need to be men and women of purpose. Of a single mind, not double-mindedness, but a single mind. Looking seriously at life. The marathon runner in his life, he's not indifferent to his circumstances and to what he allows into his life. Just talk to somebody that their son as a marathon runner, and I forget, but he's way up there towards the top of the runners in the world. But there's a lot of things that he casts aside in his life to get there. He sleeps in a tent that has oxygen deprived in it. They were listening off everything he did to build himself up to run well. And we admire that. But as Christians tonight, we're called to a higher race than that. It's not running a worldly race and winning some prize that will perish. We're running a race that will affect our eternal destiny. And you and I need to be as serious as running this race as this marathon runner is about running his race here on this earth. Are you in the race to win? You and I, we decide tonight what comes into our lives. You and I decide what we allow into our lives. That's what our lives are filled with. Things that we put there, things that we've allowed there. Paul says to approve things that are excellent. Not just good things, but excellent things. So fill your life tonight with excellent things, with people, Christian people that surround you in this race that can encourage you and maybe can challenge you. Don't despise that. Love the people of God where you are tonight. People that surround you, the Christian people around you, love them and appreciate them. Fill your life with the Word of God. Fill it with good books. Things that stir your soul, that encourage your faith. Things that don't make you fearful. Things that don't make you worry. There's so much tonight that can worry us and make us afraid tonight. Don't read that kind of thing. Don't watch that kind of thing. Read things that encourage you, that build you up. Listen to things like that. Well, tonight, you and I, we need to be running. Running men, running women. Running Christians, that's the command tonight to us, comes to us from Scripture, is to run. Tonight we need to go. We're going to need to go, and we're going to need to run. And we're going to run. We're going to run every day. We won't do it perfectly, we'll do the best we can. With our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not lazy. Not indifferent, sense of desperation, sense of determination, some discipline to make it through, pressing towards the mark. So may Spurgeon's words, may they echo in our ears this week as we run. Run for it, man, run. May God help us to run well. Let's kneel to pray.